You'd like to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 100. It's a short psalm, page 689 in your book. Psalm 100. We actually sang this a little while ago in the song. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, that He is God, it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. It is defined as a psalm of thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for in so many ways of the things that, at least in our country, that we are to be thankful for. And I guess that would really be true of anybody in any country, that no matter whether it's more or less, we are so thankful for all the things that we have. We are in a season of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a national holiday in the United States, and it is always celebrated on the fourth Thursday of November. It's actually been around since George Washington, but Thomas Jefferson didn't really care much for it, and it was kind of on and off until Abraham Lincoln decided that in 1863 it would become a federal holiday. Actually, Lincoln proclaimed Thanksgiving as a thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. That's the way he put it. Ah, that we had leaders of our land that knew what the book said. It is good, though, to stop and to remember the many things that we are thankful for. And no doubt this week we're going to thank ourselves a lot about the things that are on our plates and the things that we consume. Not that I'm going to mention food any bit in this sermon this morning, but which I haven't yet. I'm just skating around that. But Thanksgiving is measured by the word bounty. Whenever you look up the picture of Thanksgiving, it's always this big bountiful table or this bountiful thing. And it's really connected, as we think about Thanksgiving, to our possessions and our things and our wealth and those kinds of things. But Thanksgiving is even more than that. When the psalmist, unknown as he was writing Psalm 100, he was not really talking about what you and I think about Thanksgiving. The pilgrims had not landed in Israel yet, so they were not really thinking about those kinds of things. He was thinking about things eternal, which is more important, as Mike mentioned in his prayer, the fact that all the things that we have this week and all the things that we possess are soon going to be gone. The things that we have that are eternal and things that are lasting are the relationship that we have with God. And what we find in Psalm 100 is really a psalm that declares the relationship that we have with God and the one that He has with us, because that is more important than anything that we possess, because that can never and ever be taken away from us when we are in a covenant with God. And that when we look at this psalm, and we will spend a great deal of our time in this psalm, so you might want to put a marker there, is that there is a reason to praise God. When we think about Thanksgiving, it's not just saying thank you, it is saying that there is a reason that we praise God because of who He is, that there is an extent of the praise to the Lord because of who He is, and that there is a character to praise. It's not just simply saying thank you, because thank you is not just simply words. It is an expression of heartfelt sentiments of which we engage in relationship with others. And so thanksgiving is about praise directed toward the one who is responsible for the bounty that you and I all enjoy, because we know that everything we have does not come by the bounty of our hand. We may work the ground, and we may work in which we are given that obligation to go and to labor and to be the kind of industrious person that we need to be as God wants us to be. But when it is all said and done, we know from whence all these things come, because as He tells the wise man, all the gold belongs to Him anyway, and everything that we have belongs to Him. But there is a reason that the psalmist tells us that we need to praise God, the reason that we need to be thankful. And that is because of what He is in Himself. In verse 3 of this psalm, it says that know that the Lord, He is God. Now, that's the beginning of everything. The book, the Bible begins in the beginning, God. the gods of men are idols and vanities and non-entities. But when we talk about our thanksgiving and when we talk about praise unto God, it's got to begin with knowing that He is Lord, because He is the Maker, He is the Creator, He is the Framer, He is the supremely great God. And thanksgiving cannot begin if we do not first honor and give reverence to the fact that He is the one to whom we owe everything, that everything that is about our life comes from Him, because He holds our breath in His hand. The very fact that the sun rose this morning and sets is because of the will of God, and that it must come from a heart that is recognizing that everything that we have comes from Him. James tells us in James chapter 1 and in verse 17 that when we put things into perspective, and I tell you, a good book to talk about in Thanksgiving is the book of James, because he puts things in the box and says, let me tell you something. Life is short. It's like a vapor. We need to be thankful for what we got, because everything that we have comes from Him. Because in verse 17 of chapter 1, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Everything that we have comes from Him. And when we begin to think about thanksgiving, it has to begin with the recognition that, you know, thank you, God. And when Jesus taught His disciples to pray, the first thing He said was to say to them, Our Father which art in heaven. That's where it is directed. That is where we begin all things. And the fact that He is the Lord and He is the God. And so the psalmist reminds us that as we go into the spirit of thanksgiving and as we think about the things that we are thankful for, that it has to begin with knowing that He is Lord, because everything else is dependent upon that, and everything else comes from that point. Now, having established that and saying that God is the Lord, what does He say about Him? Well, He says that He is good. In verse 5, the Lord is good. We recognize that. Everything about life is because of Him, because the beauty of the body itself is the heart begins beating, and it continues beating until we die, and we don't think about that. We don't really think so much maybe about breathing or to thinking or those kinds of things that we just take naturally. We don't think about the things of this world and all the things that God gives us. But He is the Lord and He is good, because everything God does for man is for His good. Think about that. What has God done for us? What has God done that is harmful for us? The world is put into our lives for what purpose? To give us everything that we need. The sun is an exact distance from the earth. You know why? Because that's for our good. Because if it was too close, it would be hotter than it would be in Florida. And if it was too far away, we'd be living in the Antarctica. And so we don't know either one of those. And so everything is in its precise order. But everything that is about God is given to us for our good. Everything that God does is right. Everything that God does is for the benefit of man. And so we look at Thanksgiving and recognize that the world was created for the good of man. As we think about the bounty of things and as we enjoy the bounty of things, we need to recognize that, you know, this is God's gift that He has given unto us. Thanksgiving comes from the recognition that He is Lord and that He is good, and that the nature of God's provisions are given because it's always been for His good. What is the greatest gift that God has ever given? Well, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. I think it's important language that you recognize that God so loved. He didn't just love. God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son. There's a lot of things that we can attribute to God to say, thank you for this gift of life, and thank you for our homes, and thank you for our food, and thank you for all of that. And those are important things to be thankful about. But the reality of it is that the Lord, He is good. The Lord, He is God, and in fact, He is good because He has even given us His Son. And that's the ultimate example about how good God is. He is so good that He has given us His Son, and through Him, we not only have the blessings of this life, but we have spiritual blessings. And there is so much to be thankful for, and to be thankful for the realization that God has even given us His Son. And that is because we do not deserve it. It is because He is full of mercy. He says that in verse 5. That is, He says, for the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting. I don't know how often we think about the word mercy, but the word mercy indicates the fact that we do not deserve it. The grace of God means that we were in a sinful state, and we were in a place that we did not need to be. We were in a place that we put ourselves, and yet God, through His love, came and said, I'm going to give you my Son, and my mercy is going to extend to you, that instead of destroying you, I'm going to save you, and I'm going to make you my own. Are we wanting to say again, shout for the Lord, thank you? Because we need to recognize that this is included in His goodness. God's goodness is in forgiveness. One of the great prayers that we offer about forgiveness is not so much saying, God, forgive me. It's thank you for forgiving me. And I think that every time we ask God for forgiveness, we should end that, or even beginning with the idea of, thank you, God, that you're even willing to forgive me. Because he doesn't have to. He has to because of who he is. But being thankful for the mercy of God and the fact that he is so merciful, and his mercy is not just for a while, it is unending. Because if you've been alive very long, I suspect that you, like I, have done a lot of times of going to God and saying, it's me again, here I am, I need your forgiveness again. And he says, okay. How many times do we forgive one another? It's not easy. I mean, the disciples in the early days were asking Jesus, well, how about 7 times? That's going to be it. Boy, that 8th time, you're cutting off. How many times has God forgiven you? I don't know how many times he's forgiven me, because there ain't a number big enough to describe how many times he's done that. But I look at my God and I say that he is the Lord God, he is good, and that he is the one who is merciful, and that his mercy is everlasting, it's without end. And I'm so thankful for that. I mean, that's a humbling experience to know that if I'm going to be thankful about some things during the season of thankful, I'm going to say to God, thank you for your mercy. Because I don't deserve it, and I'm not one who is qualified for that, but I'm thankful that you have been willing to give your mercy to me, and that is because his good, because he is good. And the other flip side of that is in verse 5, he is not only good, he is not only merciful, he is faithful. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. His truth is as good for you today as it would be 100 years from now if you live. His truth is not only applicable 300 years ago, it's applicable today. His truth is not like I'm going to be more favorable to other people than you and I. His truth is going to be given no matter when it is. Thanksgiving was not an event. Thanksgiving is not an event. Thanksgiving is a life. It is something that fills our hearts daily. And granted, I know that what we're going to do Thursday or Friday is we're going to be off our, you know, our programs and everything. But the reality of it is that we should always have a spirit of thanksgiving. It's not about what we do in material things. We should always realize that the blessings of God are continually, because God is true in his dealings with men in every generation. He is the same yesterday, today, and he'll be the same tomorrow. And I need to be thankful for that, because tomorrow when I sin again, and next week, and when I need God's grace, he's not going to say, now listen, I've changed my mind, I'm done. I mean, that was old. He's going to be the same. And the fact that he is good, and that he is merciful, and that he is faithful, and his truth endures to all generations, is something that has been around forever. And I think about this a lot. We were roasting marshmallows the other night with one of our granddaughters, and we were sitting there, and there was a half moon, And it just still amazes me. I'm a simple mind, I know. It still amazes me. I'm looking up at the moon and I'm thinking, that is the same thing Adam looked at. I mean, that just blows my mind. And that's not really a big explosion, but that's just so cool to think that I'm looking at the very same thing that Adam and Eve looked at. And to me, that's the truth of God. Is that what we have from the very beginning of time, because his mercy is everlasting and his truth, it endures to all generations. That means that I can trust and I can be confident in the word of God. And I will tell you, if I want to be thankful about something, I'm thankful that God is not a God of variation. I'm thankful that God is not going to be one who is going to love me today and reject me tomorrow, because again, here I am. And so my thankfulness is going to be because he is the Lord. He is good. He is merciful and he is faithful. That's why I praise him. That's why I give him honor. Because of what he is in himself. That's who he is. That's why I look at God and I say, thank you, God. That's why my language I need to use properly. Thank God. Now, sometimes that's used in a manner it should not be used. But we need to put that in our language and say often during the day, thank God for the things that he's done, because so much is what he has given to us. But it's not really only just because of what he is in himself, but it is also because of what he is in relationship to us. You see, God is not just a God that's up there and doesn't have a relationship with us. We have a relationship with the Creator. We have a relationship with the Lord God. In verse 3, he tells us in this psalm, know that the Lord, he is God. Okay, you got that? There it is. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us. You ever thought about how God made you? And how wonderful you are, and how things work, and how, I mean, I don't know how they work. I know there's answers that science gives about how the mind works, and the heart works, and the veins, and all that kind of good stuff. I just know that, you know, that when the bones don't work, and they're sore, and the muscles are sore, I mean, we get all that. But do you ever think about the body, and how it actually is put together in life itself? And the fact that God made us and He made us into this perfection, and that our bodies are this instrument of perfection that works, that is just, it's there. We start out as a little baby and we grow and we get, you know, and we get older and we get taller and we all this and everything sort of works, and it's just an amazing thing. Can we not have a spirit of thanksgiving and saying, you know, God, just, we are wonderfully made, the psalmist says. And the fact that we are made in His image. And in Psalm chapter 8, if you just turn, I didn't put that up there. Oh well. It's not hard to find. If you're at Psalm 100, go, 92 Psalms that way? Wow, where's Rick? I don't know if I did that right or not. But anyway, Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth. This is a great psalm of thanksgiving too. If you want to be thankful to the Lord about the fact that He made us and that He is the Creator, this is where it is. You know, David says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth, who has set Your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, You have ordained strength because of Your enemies, that You may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider Your heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars which You have ordained, what is man that You're mindful of him, the son of man that You visit him? You've made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion over the works of Your hands. You put him all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the paths through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth. That's because He has made us. We have a relationship with Him because He has shown us who we are, because we have been made in His image. You see, we're not junk. We're not just flesh and blood. We're eternal creatures that are housed in this tabernacle of flesh. And we are made because He has been the one who has formed us. But not only has God formed us and made us, He has made us His people. We're His people. We're not some entity that is of no importance. We're not something that is of not an interest to Him. In the fact that the psalmist says that not only is it He who has made us and not we ourselves, we are His people. I don't know how that resonates with you, but that ought to just really ring some bells there and make some surprise and say there's a reason that we need to shout joy to the Lord, is the fact that I am a people of God. Is that good English? I am a person of God. I am somebody who God knows in the infinite cosmos of space, with all of the billions and billions and billions, literally, of stars that we behold in the sky, and down on this little third rock from the sun, in this little place in the central part of Florida, there are some people that God knows their name, and they are His people. Thank You, God, that You have such infinite wisdom, and that You care about me. That's the psalmist is saying, that He has made us His people. We are special to Him. And that's why He loved us, to send us His Son. And just beyond the physical things, because in Ephesians chapter 2, let me tell you, we did not deserve any of this. It wasn't as if, well, God is going to look down and say, yeah, they deserve it. No, we don't. Because He made us alive, that when we were dead in trespasses and sins, in which we once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worked in the sons of the disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised up together, made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and the kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There's a lot to be thankful for. And this week, when you're thanking God for all the things that you want to thank Him for and the things that we need to be thanking Him for, we need to thank God that He forgives us of our sins. We need to thank God that He, through His grace, when we were enemies and when we were in that destitute state and when we were apart from God, because of His love, because of His rich mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, He sent His Son, and through Him we can be forgiven. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. Thanksgiving is knowing that God has forgiven us because we are His people and He has saved us. And as His people, the psalmist tells us that He is our shepherd. Again, in verse 3, he says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." What does that mean? What does that give to us? Not only are we created, not only are we given the blessing of being created by Him, it's the fact that we are the sheep of His pasture, which means He cares for me as a shepherd cares for his sheep. We are people that God loves and He guides and protects us and helps us in the things that we need. For the Lord is my shepherd. Speaking of God, actually, sometimes I have to make that remembrance. The Lord God is my shepherd, I shall not want. Makes me to lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because You're with me. I will not fear when I'm walking in the valley of the shadow of death because You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, what do? They comfort me. And even in that sense, there's a table that's prepared before me. It's even in the presence of my enemies, and yet He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My cup runs over. That's thanksgiving. The fact that God loves me so much, and that, as the psalmist says in Psalm 100, not only is that He the Lord God, and not only is He made us, not only are we ourselves, but His people, but we are the sheep of His pasture. God loves us that much. Thank You, God, for being my shepherd. Well, that's why we need to praise Him. That's being thankful for Him because of what He has done. And the extent of praise is to everybody. This is not something that's just given to a certain amount of people, because the psalmist tells us in verse 1, make a shout for joy to the land. Everybody! All you lands! The Lord is creator for all men and desires for all men to come. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God desires for all men to come and worship Him. And the thing about thanksgiving is that it is the universal language of all men, that there is a need of thanksgiving to know that God has sent His Son for all men, and that there is unity in the human race. You know why? Because we are so malefacted by the same problem. It doesn't matter what nationality, it doesn't matter what country, it doesn't matter what language, it doesn't matter the color of your skin. We all share in one single thing. We all came from Adam. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul, showing the relationship that we all have, if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. The reality of it is that we are all in that situation. Every human being that walks upon the face of the earth, we all, as children of Adam, are dealing with this thing called sin. And because of one man who came to this earth and died and gave his life and sacrificed himself, we have the justification, the redemption, and the promise. And so it's something that's for everybody. Thanksgiving's not just an American thing. Thanksgiving is something that God has given to all men, and that's what the psalmist reminds us, is that we are to shout to the Lord because it is something for all people, which then tells us that the character of praise in this psalm. There are three things that are characteristic of our praise. We know the reason that we praise God is because He is Lord. He is good. He is merciful. He is faithful. He has made us. We are His people, and He is our shepherd. And the fact that this is something for everybody, it doesn't matter who's in the audience this morning. God has sent His Son to die for you, no matter who you are. But the character of our praise and our thanksgiving is illuminated here in verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. There needs to be joy. There is joy in thanksgiving. We are filled with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. We are joyful. We are happy. We're filled with a joyful shout. And I don't think that we need to miss the word shout either. He didn't say make a joyful noise. He said make a joyful shout. I mean, don't you get excited when you see somebody and you know you can't wait and you're excited and you're not, wow, I'm glad to see that. I mean, there's an immediacy about this thing. There is joy and thanksgiving of God. And let it live in the heart of those who are filled with the grace of God. I think about Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. They're in prison. Things have been bad for them. They've been beaten. They're in a Philippian jail and things are not working out real well. You know what they're doing? They're singing praises to God. You know why? Because they're filled with thanksgiving. You're in a Roman prison, you've been beaten, you're thankful. Well, they're thankful to God because, number one, that they were able to teach and preach the gospel of Christ, but still, they have a spirit of thanksgiving and that they're filled with joy. They had a state of mind. They had a point of view. Thanksgiving's a happy thing. Thanksgiving's something that's filled with joy. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. We need to be joyful people. We need to understand that even with the challenges and even as we're studying the book of Revelation on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, yes, there are things that are going to come against us, but still the message is you can have joy in the face of persecution because I'm still in charge. I am still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the psalmist says that we need to have spirits of joy. What's thanksgiving? It's joyous because God has saved us. But it is grateful. Because he tells us in verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We need to be grateful. We need to be grateful to know that we can worship God. I love what Psalm 122 verse 1 says. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Thanksgiving means that you love to worship God. Why? Because you're thankful for what He has done. You realize what He has done for you, how He loves and cares for you. And the place you want to be is a place of thanksgiving. And He says, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord and worship Him. In Psalm 84 and verse 10, He again enumerates this relationship of being glad to be in the presence. For a day in your court is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. There is no better place to be on the Lord's day than right here. Now, granted, there's a command that we don't have a choice about being here. We talked about that last week. But I'm going to tell you, there's no better place you can be than right here worshiping God. There's no better place that you can be than worshiping God together because we are grateful. We are grateful people for what God has done for us. And we want to come together and to share in that joy that we have because we're so thankful for what He has done. But that joyous and grateful thanksgiving is also just simply practical. In verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. What are you glad about? Are you glad about things? Gladness, serving the Lord. We serve Him by obeying His commands. We serve Him as an act of participation. Thanksgiving is not just a spirit of thank you, but it's showing our thanksgiving. Because when you're glad about things, you live that way. You're gladder people. Boy, you're getting a lot of good words this morning. You're the gladdest people that there are. I might as well keep on. There's just a spirit of worshiping God. It's the practical side of it. One of the greatest gifts we return to God is a grateful heart for His blessings and showing Him by, I want to keep your word. Thanksgiving is thanksgiving. And I know that Thursday or whenever you do your Thanksgiving thing, that's the big day and all like that. But what about the other 364 days of the year? Do we just say, thank you, God, and that's it? No, it's every single day of our lives. It's the practical application of every day when we awake to be glad and to be rejoicing and grateful for the things that God has given us. Because He has given us so many things that are innumerable, as we sang again. Count your many blessings. You haven't got time, and I don't either, because there's a lot of things that we can bless. And we can count as our blessings from God. And indeed, I think it's important that we will stop and count our many blessings. What are you thankful for? What comes to mind when you think about, well, I want to be thankful for this, or I want to be thankful for that? Well, Paul says that we need to be rejoicing. And I want you to see that how this passage in Philippians 4 sounds a lot like Psalm 100. Because it begins with joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true and noble and just and pure and lovely, and have good report, if there's any other virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate upon these things. That's a thankful heart. A thankful heart is one that is filled with rejoicing because of who God is and what He has done for us. We are people filled with gladness because we know that the Lord is at hand. We're not concerned about the things of this world and because we realize that the anxiousness of this world is removed by trusting in God. And He makes this statement in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. That's not turkey. That's a state of mind. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Do you know how you become thankful to God? Talk to Him. The more you talk to Him, the more you're thankful. And the more you listen to Him, the more you're thankful. Because when you hear the voice of God, the only thing you want to say is thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Okay, I'll stop. That's all you want to do because there are so many things that He has given us. What are you thankful for? We need to show how thankful we are to God. We need to be thankful for the fact that one day He washed our sins away. We need to be thankful for the fact that the grace and the mercy of God has allowed us to come into His presence and ask for forgiveness of sins, and He has said, I will remove it as far as the east is from the west. Now, it may be that you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter said a long time ago, when they were asked, what must we do to be saved? He said, repent, to be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Do you know what that is? That's a call for thanksgiving. That's a call of saying, let me tell you something. I sent my Son, and He died for you, and if you will come to Him and believe in Him and be baptized and have your sins washed away, then I will forgive you of your sins, and you can live with me. Why would we not want to do that? Why would we not want to say thank you to God? Obedience to God is being thankful to God for what He's done and responding to that. Because ultimately, there's a big Thanksgiving Day coming. The big Thanksgiving Day is coming. When God says, enter in. That's going to be the best Thanksgiving that there is. What do you have to be thankful about? I pray that if you've not had your sins, pray that you will come this morning to be thankful, that God will cleanse you of your sins, that you can leave here this morning a child of God. Consider these things. Let's stand as we sing.